The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
I was not going to continue this at all until I made the mistake of watching cable news during the top of the hour break. It just happens. Fox News is on. They're making a huge, huge... And didn't I tell you in the last segment? Hey, I'm not always a prophet, but every once in a while. In the last segment, I said the news is going to get into fear-mongering. And by the way, Fox is not exempt by any means. Texas has had a huge surge of positive coronavirus cases. And they're making an enormous thing out of it. Florida has as well. Florida has had a big surge as well. Now, I want to make this clear. Should that be a cause of concern? Of course it should. I don't think any wise, smart person would diminish that, hey, we should be concerned about that. But should it cause panic and hysteria like the news media wants us? Please remember, most of the news media thrives on keeping you and me in a state of fear and hysteria and panic. So anyway, top of the hour break, they were talking about Texas. Oh, my goodness. Surge. Oh, they're shutting down the bars again, which I think that's great. It wouldn't bother me if they shut them all down. But anyway, and hospitals. One place, hospitals are on a code, what was it, code red, or I don't know. So then they had the director, I think, and again, I was just watching out of the corner of my eye, and I don't remember his exact position, but he was with the Texas Department of Health. I don't know whether he was the director or whatever. And the Fox News correspondent asked a very blunt question. Okay, hospitals are filling up in Texas. Yes, that's right. Hospitals are filling up in Texas. What percentage of the people currently in Texas hospitals are there because of COVID-19? Long pause. And the guy from the Texas Health Department says 10 to 11%. Yeah. So in other words, 10 to 11% of all the people in the hospitals in Texas, now this is what the Department of Health is saying, 10 to 11%. So in other words, the hospital crisis, if there is one, is not because of COVID-19. That means 90% of the people in the hospitals are there for other reasons, whatever that may be. But that doesn't keep people in fear. So once again, I just say, be wise, be smart, be careful, be healthy, but do not allow yourself to be petrified by fear. That is the goal of much of the news media. All right. Now, I said I was going to move on from COVID-19. I am and I'm not. This doesn't have anything to do with how many people are in the hospital, whatever. But here is a new development out of New York. The governor of New York, Cuomo, and the mayor of New York City, Mayor de Blasio, have been very, very, very anti-church. And they have. You remember Mayor de Blasio threatened a bunch of synagogues and Christian churches. Do you remember this a few weeks ago? He made a threat. If you do not obey us, if you do not obey us as far as meeting with no more than 10 people in your church, we may shut you down permanently. Do you remember that? That was Mayor de Blasio. And so de Blasio and Cuomo have been threatening churches, you better not meet together. You better not have more than 10. And then it went up to 25. Now, it could be a church of 5,000, but you couldn't have more than 25. And then the protests came. And did you hear Mayor de Blasio or Governor Cuomo get up and say, we got to shut down these protests because of this COVID-19. People are going to get it. Everybody's going to die. We got to shut down these protests. You got to go home. No. De Blasio and Cuomo praised the protesters. Praised them. Thousands of them in the street. By the way, there are about 200 camped in front of City Hall in New York City. They have made up their own little town like in Seattle. But anyway, several churches in New York went together and sued the city of New York and the state of New York, and they won. Yeah, this morning, U.S. District Judge Gary L. Sharp issued a preliminary injunction prohibiting Cuomo, his attorney general, and Mayor de Blasio from ordering or enforcing any arbitrary limits on church gatherings. In his decision, the judge said, and I quote, "It is not the judiciary's role to second-guess the likes of Governor Cuomo or Mayor de Blasio when it comes to decisions they make in such troubling times. That is, until those decisions result in the curtailment of fundamental rights without compelling justification." The judge went on to state that the city of New York and the state of New York was silent, even encouraging of the protests, which was more dangerous from a medical point of view than a church following CDC guidelines and social distancing. The judge said, under the current plan, essential businesses are granted 100% occupancy. Non-essential businesses are granted 50% occupancy, but religious gatherings are confined to 25%. And by the way, this is the newer portion of the plan for New York. Before, it was just 25 people. Now it's 25%. So the judge said, wait a minute, you are clearly discriminating against houses of worship. And you have been inconsistent and unconstitutional in enforcing the stay-at-home order and so forth. And he has issued a preliminary injunction against Mayor de Blasio, the state attorney general, and the governor himself. Every once in a while, the good guys win. So that is really good news for houses of worship. De Blasio, Cuomo have been extremely anti-Christian, anti-Jewish. Of course, it's a long history of anti-Semitism with de Blasio. So, good news. Good news. Well, we're going to take a break. That's more good news. I have some important information for you, which is really good news. And then we'll be back. Hey, by the way, it's Open Phone Friday. 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483.
Talk
talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live on an open phone Friday. Anybody want to guess what the protests in downtown Columbus have cost the city? Over $1.5 million just in police overtime. $1.5 million. That does not include the cleanup, which has to be every single night. Let me again say, peaceful protest is a part of America from our founding. But, well, these have not been real peaceful protests. And who is responsible for the cleanup? All right, I'm not even going to get into that because I've got Carl on the phone in Gahanna. Hey, Carl, you're up next on Bob Burney Live. Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me on, Bob.
My pleasure.
Well, there's been two or three cases of charges being filed against protesters at Planned Parenthood since this COVID-19 situation. These protests have heated up. I've been there, and they've been a lot more finicky about keeping, you know, the rules just right, bringing stuff up. But they're getting away with burning down police stations in some cities.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd make people aware of that, what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's true. They burned down a police station in Minneapolis. Others have been set on fire. They've not been, well, they've been completely burned down. One in Seattle was completely taken over, basically trashed, destroyed, and taken over by protesters. And it's what I'm saying. Much of this is not peaceful. And it's interesting that people who protest at Planned Parenthood centers are treated by the news media as a bunch of wild-eyed, crazy fanatics, religious fanatics, or whatever. The protesters downtown are treated in a completely different way by the news media. Just terribly, terribly biased. Hey, Carl, thanks. Appreciate the call. Glad you called. I was wrong on the cost. Please, please forgive me. I was terribly off on the cost of what it's cost the city of Columbus. I said it was $1.5 million in Columbus police overtime, and I apologize. I was way off. It's not $1.5 million. It's $2.7 million. It's approaching $3 million. The cleanup for graffiti, repair damages, and so forth has cost the city alone nearly $200,000 just clean up. And I want to be careful how I say this, because again, marches, protests are part of the fabric of America. But here is a huge difference between protests conducted, sponsored by, developed by the left, and protests, marches developed by people on the right. If you check out like the March for Life in Washington, D.C. every year, one thing that the Parks Department and the police in Washington, D.C. say, after the March for Life, the mall in Washington, D.C., the streets where they march are absolutely clean. People clean up after themselves. They put everything in the trash cans. Sometimes they even assist in carrying the trash, you know, to dumpsters or whatever. When you see, like, the Women's March, have you seen the mall in Washington after that protest, and they have that every year as well. And take a look at what downtown Columbus looks like after the protests here in our own city that have been staged by the far liberal left. And I'm not talking about the people who are there peacefully protesting because they're genuinely concerned about our city. I'm talking about the rabble-rousers, the people that are far progressive left. Property damage everywhere. No attempt to clean it up. They come, they protest, they throw their trash, they spray paint, they break things, vandalize, and then they just leave hoping, well, not hoping, expecting for somebody else to clean it up. $2.7 million in police overtime alone. And the litter, graffiti, repairing damages so far, and there's a whole lot more that needs to be done. The downtown area of Columbus is still in pretty bad shape. The bill is over $150,000. It is approaching $200,000. So you put that together, you have over $3 million in overtime damages and so forth. Yet, it seems that our city government has encouraged it. Wow. I won't get into reading it, but Jeff, make sure you post the editorial by Al Mohler. I've got it somewhere down the stack. You'll see it in the stuff that I sent you. It's an editorial by Al Mohler. Here it is. Systematic racism, God's grace, and the human heart, what the Bible teaches about structural sin by Al Mohler. It is one of the finest pieces I have read recently about, is America systematically racist? And it really isn't. Is there some systematic racism? Yeah. Is the American system systematically racist? No, it really isn't. And Al Mohler draws the distinction between individual responsibility and corporate or cultural responsibility. And he sounds a very strong warning about social justice, liberation theology, some of the things that I was warning you about yesterday, except Al Mohler does it in a much more eloquent manner than I ever thought of. So systematic racism, God's grace in the human heart, what the Bible teaches about structural sin. It will be posted on Facebook, Twitter, and my website. Check it out. It's 10 pages. It'll take you a little bit to read it, but it is well written, well thought out, thoroughly biblical. Great food for thought to help you discern what's going on from a biblical point of view.